This is the This Is Gonna Hurt podcast with J. Gordon Duncan.
Well, thank you. It's always awkward when someone reads your bio. Because I know I had to write it at some point in time. So thank you. It's always like, did I say that? But thank you, Linda, and thank you everyone for giving me a chance to speak. It means a ton. I do want to focus today really on how nonprofits can thrive right now and what's going on. But I'll give you just a bit of an introduction. So my name is Gordon Duncan. I'm the co-owner of CTP Marketing and Consulting. And what we do at CTP is we help companies, cultures, and brands take their ideas, turn them into realities or their concepts, and turn them into profits. And we do that in four different ways. We help companies with social media, website, logo design, marketing campaigns. We also do coaching, both individual and corporate. We help companies find sponsorships, and then of course we help nonprofits with fundraising. So that's who we are at CTP. I've been in the nonprofit world in one sense or another since 2003. So like many of you, what that means is we endured the 2008 recession. We've gone through multiple presidential administrations, tax changes. And right now, we're here in the midst of COVID-19. So if you have a nonprofit that you care about or any service-oriented industry, it's really hard to grow numerically and financially. So what I'm hoping maybe with what I can do is give everyone here just a few tips to help in that area, and hopefully I can answer any questions. To get started, I'm reminded of an interview that I read with a world-renowned pianist. His name is Vladimir Horowitz. I don't know if you're familiar with him or not, but just world-renowned for just being an amazing pianist. And he was asked the question that every elite performer hates to answer. And he was given the answer to the question that we hate to hear. So someone asked him, they said, how is it that you're so amazing? How is it after year, you have continued to perform at such a high level? And the answer he gave was the one that we all hate to hear. And he said, well, it's hard work and practice. And he described it in this way. He said, if I miss one day of practice, I notice it in my performance. He said, if I miss 2 days of practice, my wife notices it in my performance. But if I miss 3 days of practice, my audience notices it in my performance. So here's this world-renowned piano player. He's played across the world. He's played for royalty. He's played for everybody. And what it still comes down to for him is how much does he practice on a regular basis? And what he teaches us in that is there's actually a formula there. The less that he pays attention to the important details of what he does, the greater chance there is to receive derision from his audience. And so if he's not paying attention, he's getting more attention. It's just negative attention. And so when it comes down to what we do in the nonprofit realm or in any way in which we're trying to gain sponsors or fundraising or really even marketing, what happens is if we don't pay attention to the small details, the ones that we sometimes have a temptation to take for granted, what's going to happen is the attention we're going to get is not going to be the attention we want. And so what I'd like to do is in the midst of this craziness that we're enduring right now with COVID-19, and Linda asked me specifically to speak to nonprofits, is how in the world do we grow in this environment? And in light of the fact that one of the benefits of COVID-19 has been an increased mind of service and activism, like how do we actually partner with that in such a way that the areas in which we serve and we care for can actually grow? So my focus will be in the nonprofit world, but I hope that these will be some tips that as a business owner or professional, you can take some things away from it. And feel free to interrupt me at any point in time with questions you've got. But what I've really got is just three tips that are really gonna help you in the nonprofit world that in the midst of this craziness, what we're going through, you can actually grow. The first one I've mentioned already, and it's really about consistent communication. I first began raising funds back in 2003, And I had never raised any money for an organization. I didn't take like a youth group mission trip or anything like that. I didn't have any concept of really of what it was like to raise money. But I went to a seminar, and how they encouraged me is they said, listen, the quickest way that you're going to lose your support and your donor base is if you don't communicate with them. Because if you lose communication with them, they're not going to stay with you. He said, see, if you communicate on a regular basis, people look forward to your updates. They look to hear what's going on. But if you miss a communication to an email or a letter, some of the folks who really care for you might notice it. They might go, huh, I wonder where Gordon's been lately. If that continues on, more and more people might think, I wonder where Gordon's been. But if I go too long without communicating with my supporters or my donor base or my audience, whatever the case may be, by the time I do reach back out to them, what they're going to think is, Gordon wants something. Gordon must want money. And that's the way it's going on right now a lot with the COVID-19 crisis, that if we're not communicating with our donor base, if we're not communicating with our customers, whatever the case may be, when we finally do reach out to them, unfortunately, people are going to think that it's because we just want something for them. And so if you do run a nonprofit, or even if you're running a regular retail business, regular communication is what's going to keep you from being that person who gets deleted or dropped off someone's donor list. So when I heard that at that seminar back in 2003, I decided, you know what, that's gonna be one mistake I never make. And so since 2003 to today, I've sent out 48 letters or 48 emails a year since 2003. Basically, that's every single week except I take a week off from vacation. And I decided if I've got people who are gonna support what I'm doing, and I've got a group of people who care about what I'm doing, then I'm never going to make them wonder what I'm up to. I'm never going to make them wonder, huh, what's going on with that $25 I send, or that $500 I spend, or that $1,000 I give on a monthly basis. And so what that means is, in the nonprofit world, it means establishing a consistent level of communication, deciding whoever's in charge of that. If it's physical letters, if it's emails, deciding how often does this go out? And nothing gets in the way of that. If it's a weekly letter like I do, then what that means is you're going to need to keep notes during the week. Like, what are we actually going to talk about? If it's quarterly, that means you've got plenty of time to put it together, but you got to hit that deadline. Because what that does for the people who support whatever you're doing, it lets them know that you want them to be a part of the communication. You want them to feel like they are a part of what you're actually doing. And if they've given money to your organization, they definitively want to know what it's gone to. And so in those regular emails, you're not asking for money every single time, by no means. Of course, at the bottom of the email, at the end of the salutation, there's a link that if you'd like to give money or contribute, they can click on. But really what you're doing is you're just letting them know, this is what's going on with our organization. This is what's going on with our corporation. When you've given money, these are the things that we've done with it. And so that means a system's got to be created. There's got to be an email database. You're going to need a Constant Contact or a MailChimp or a CRM of some sort that keeps all those together. Someone in the brain trust has got to decide what are we actually going to communicate and how is it going to go out. And there's got to be a system for it. Because unfortunately, without those things, without the organization, you're going to have people who are just going to lose track of you. And then when you do reach out, they're going to look at that and they're going to go, if I open that email, they're going to ask me for money. And they're either going to not open that email or just delete it, or at worst, email back and say, hey, listen, I'm sorry, we just can't participate anymore. And so when we work with nonprofits, or it's the same thing when you're working with a database of really anybody you're communicating with. The point has got to be there's got to be a communication on a regular basis. And if that's a hiccup, I often see organizations who just can't decide how to do that. If that's a hiccup, then I encourage them then find a committee or a decider or someone who's going to make those decisions. But not making the decision to communicate with the people who care about you and support you, what that is actively doing is giving them an avenue to walk out the back door. And so I see two things happening with nonprofits right now. I see them either flourishing or disappearing, and I've seen both. I see some nonprofits who are really communicating with their base very, very well, and they've actually seen their donating. I've seen one nonprofit that's actually thrived during all of quarantine because they've been consistent with that communication. They've actually taken in more money in the last 3 months than any time before. And then unfortunately, I've seen some nonprofits that have had to shut their doors in the last 3 months because they just didn't have a consistent basis of communication in the first place. So my encouragement to all of you guys in the nonprofit world, it's true in your business world as well, but really the focus of the nonprofit here, which Linda asked me to speak of, is that if you're not communicating regularly, you've got to begin. And if you've got the opportunity now, you've got to put together an email database, you've got to start gathering those people who are interested, and you've got to put together a system. The second thing is I would encourage you in this way. Once you begin communicating with your donors, your supporters, you've got to become a storyteller. People absolutely love story more than they do rote facts. Rote facts are really for things like Wikipedia or when you're arguing who's been in what movie and you want to look up something on Internet Movie Database. That's what you want. But what we really resonate with is story and storytellers. And if you, when you're communicating with your base, have stories to tell, then it personalizes what your nonprofit is doing. And then that way people feel a greater connection with it. I'll give you an example. When I was in North Carolina, I was a police chaplain. And so as a police chaplain, that means that they would give me a call if there was a death notification. I would often help the police with that. I would do counseling at wrecks or tragic events like that. And I really wanted to find a way to communicate what we were doing with some of the supporters so they could give to some of the ministries we were doing to help the police. And what I discovered is I could say, well, I went on two ride-alongs with the police or I did this. Those things were okay, but they were a bit boring. But when I told a story, people connected. For example, I received a phone call one night at 1 o'clock in the morning, which is when all things happened with the police. And they asked me, they said, hey, can you help us? We have found a young man, and he's driving around. His car is full of all of his belongings. He's 18 years old in a day. And he has nowhere to go, because when he turned 18, his mom kicked him out of the house. Can you help out? So I called another person in my church and said, let's go meet him. And we found this young man, and he was sitting outside a Red Roof Inn with a packed car and a cat, because that's what he took with him. And once we got to know him, we found out that he was 18. He was almost ready to graduate high school, but he had missed too many days, and he had nowhere to stay. So we put him up in a hotel for a couple of days. Then the next day, we went with him to school. We met with his school counselor, talked about the situation, able to get him back into school. Ultimately, the story ends with him graduating, joining the Marines. Now he's married, he has two kids, and is a computer expert, and I'm confident he makes more money than I do. And I'm incredibly excited about that for him. He's a good guy. His name's Paul. Now, when I tell that story, you barely remember that I was the police chaplain. What you remember is the story of Paul Pagan, that he went from being in a car and a cat to now he's got a wife, two kids, and he's working in the computer industry. Paul is one of those stories from what we did that when I think I've been a failure, I actually was able to contribute to someone's life. That story is really about Paul, not about me or anyone else. But for your nonprofit, if you're communicating with your sponsors, if you're communicating with those who are giving, those are the stories that people need to hear. They need those personal stories of what you're doing, and the impact you're making, and what their money's going to. When that happens, you will attract more people who are interested in helping your nonprofit. You'll attract more people who want to serve in your nonprofit. You'll find more people who want to volunteer. Even here for Rotary, when the stories of what you guys do, and Rotarians are just service leaders in the communities, when we hear more and more about what you're able to do and impact the community, that makes people interested in becoming part of Rotary. Or if you have a nonprofit that works with vets, that's when people want to hear those stories. When you have a nonprofit that works with kids at schools, as best as possible, educate people about what you're doing. So it's that consistent communication to begin with. That second thing is really storytelling and educating people about what you're doing. The third tip I would give, and I think this is often the more difficult one for nonprofits right now, but this is an opportunity for nonprofits. This is an opportunity for nonprofits to really shore up their board and their procedures. Right now, there's a lot of nonprofits that have come under scrutiny about how money is being handled. And the last thing anybody wants to do is to be a part of a nonprofit where people feel like their money was not handled well. And so my encouragement to anyone on the onset, if you want to start a 501, if you want to start a nonprofit, or if you're part of one, now is the opportunity for folks to make sure that they have objective bookkeeping, Now is the time to make sure you're doing your quarterly meetings and you've got notes for what you're doing. Now is the opportunity to make sure that all your internal processes are done in such a way that you're absolutely above board. No one can ever question what's being done with the money and the time that's being contributed. Because I think what's happening, as I mentioned to you before, a lot of nonprofits are going under. They're not being given to anymore because either their people don't know what they're doing, they're not being communicated about what the work of the nonprofit is. But unfortunately, some of them haven't survived the litmus test of examination. So my encouragement to anybody starting a nonprofit, before you begin the work at all, now's the time to get someone who can objectively handle the finances. Now's the time to start that board. Now's the time to get someone who can speak into the mission who has got nonprofit experience. And then that is something you get to communicate with the people who support you or sponsor you. You can say, hey, we just want you to know we've done an independent audit of all of our records. We want to let you know that it's important to us that every dollar you spend here can be accounted for. We want to make sure you get your statements at the end of the year. That's the kind of thing that supporters want to hear because they want to feel like they're going and giving money and contributing to an organization that is put together well. So whenever folks ask us about starting a nonprofit, we always start there. Like, I'm excited about your mission, but can you put it together in such a way that there is, you know, independent looking at the bookkeeping, that you do have a board, there's people who are guiding you in this. And that's often difficult because the person is passionate about a certain mission that they want to give to, or they're passionate about a certain effort that they want to undertake, but it's that organizational part that's so difficult. It's the same thing that's true for entrepreneurs. Entrepreneurs want to get out and get started and they want to do their work, but it's often the underpinnings, it's all the things that go on it that make it difficult for those things to sustain. So, to wrap up, just a couple of tips here for everybody. If you're working in a nonprofit realm or if you'd like to grow in that nonprofit realm, please, please, please communicate. Communicate regularly. Create a regular schedule about how you're going to email or how you're going to call people, how you're going to interact. If you don't have a regular schedule, you just don't have a regular schedule. And if you're not consistent, folks won't think you're consistent. Secondly, I really encourage you to be storytellers. Educate people about what you're doing it and doing as much as you can in a personal way to let people know what you're doing. It encourages them. When they consider giving in the next year, they might consider giving even more. And then third, this is really the time to make sure that all your internal processes are done above board, above reproach, making sure you've got that bookkeeper, making sure you've got a board who's helping you out, making sure people are speaking in to the work that you're doing. So, Linda, that's really my encouragement for everyone. I would be glad to speak in any way about marketing those things or growing those things. And we can move beyond the realm of nonprofits, but I wanted to give an opportunity for anybody who might have some questions or offer any feedback.